Good afternoon. It's certainly good to see everyone who is willing and able to come back this afternoon to study another portion of God's Word. Try not to keep you too long this afternoon. I almost feel like there's so few people here, I wanted to almost save this or use it another time, but I'm glad to share it with you at this point. The last time I spoke on Lord's Day afternoon, I talked about the epistles of Jude and Philemon. Our text this morning, or this afternoon, I'm sorry, is going to come from Jude, verses 3 through 7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I'd like to call my lesson this afternoon, Faith of Our Fathers. There's a song that we sing here by that title. It's a song that I've always liked. I'll admit to you that one of the reasons why I liked it is the song that we sang in the Catholic Church. When I was growing up, it was a song that when I first started coming to church here with Joy, when you experience a different faith than what you've been raised with, you look for something that's familiar, and that's one of the things that I caught pretty early on was there was a few songs in the songbook that I knew from growing up, and this was one of them. It's a song that I liked then. It's a song that I like now that talks about the importance of looking back and remembering what the generations that came before us, how they worship God and how they perpetuated their faith from generation to generation, and how it's our responsibility to do that as well. So as Jude points out here, it's important for us to remember as Christians that we have an obligation to earnestly contend for the faith, to be good examples in a world that continually seems to be drifting farther and farther away from God. It's important for us to keep up that work as being lights and examples to a lost and dying world. So what we want to do for a short time this afternoon is see how that idea applies to us today. The next scripture I'd like to read is from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 1. And all the scriptures that I'm quoting this afternoon are from the King James Version. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One of the things that's important for us to remember is when we look back into the Old Testament, and Dennis brought some things out about this this morning, there were three ages of man. There was the age of the patriarchs, the time of the Old Law, and then, of course, the time that we live in now, the time of the New Testament. And in each one of these dispensations, it was vital for the followers of God and the believers in God to perpetuate and to show forth their belief in God from age to age and from generation to generation. And so we realize that that's something that we are not to shirk, or something that we're not to think about as being our responsibility, because it's important for us to spread the word of God, especially to our friends and our families and those of the next generation that will continue to carry forth the work of God, because we realize that's our duty and responsibility until Jesus comes again. We realize as people today that we are part of a physical family, the family that we were born into or adopted into as far as our legal status. We also realize that there is a spiritual family. And it's vital for us to use every opportunity that we can in each one of those families to try to show forth what it means to be a Christian. And one of the most important things about this is demonstrating our faith. I'd like now to read from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We realize that when we are baptized and become Christians, we're accepted into the family of God. We're spiritually adopted into that family. And we ask ourselves, why is that necessary? And we can read about this over in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We realize that when we're baptized, we are reborn. We become a new creature in the eyes of God. We look the same to everybody else physically. We don't physically change when we're baptized, but spiritually we change. Our sins have been washed away, and we arise from that the watery grave of baptism to a new life and a new endeavor and goal is to serve God to the best of our ability if we're being baptized for the right reasons. And we realize that these are things that we do to please God, and again, to carry forth and perpetuate his kingdom by becoming members of the church and by working towards spreading the gospel and not only maintaining the congregation where we're at, but helping to spread the gospel to other areas and throughout the world. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 15. He saith to them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou hast loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. As we read in our text, we realize that it's important for us as Christians to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The key word there being once. Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter and the other apostles, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they set forth what we have as the New Testament. That's what governs our lives. That's what tells us what God accepts, what God wants us to reject, and it gives us a pattern for obtaining our salvation and maintaining our salvation. And it's not something that today we have the ability to change. It's the same today as it was then, and it's the same that it's always going to be. What God has set forth through the New Testament is how generation after generation, whether the world stands another 10 years or another 10,000 years, that's still going to be the standard that we're going to be judged by on the day of judgment is the words that are given to us in the New Testament. So while these men had the ability to establish the New Testament it wasn't their ideas, it was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we no longer have that latitude to change things. We have to accept things for the way that they are. And when we do that, we show the faith that we have in God, that we accept and understand what he has set forward for us to do. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Acts 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." In the days of the early church, the word of God spread so far and so fast, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that the apostles and the other disciples were accused of turning the world upside down. We can look in the world today, and especially in the country that we live, there seems to be a lot of revisionist history going on, where people are trying to claim that this was never intended to be a Christian nation, and people are trying to rewrite history and change people's ideas about those things. But all we have to do is look at the laws that were established in this country to realize that they were influenced by the New Testament. Certainly, the people who came here to establish this country were looking for. One of the main things they were looking for was religious freedom, because if you lived in Europe, you were either a Catholic or you were a member of the Church of England, because it was government-sanctioned religions. And so as we continue in the world today, we realize that there are those who are trying to suppress Christianity. We don't have anything close to the persecution that those in the early church suffered. That's not to say that one day that may not happen, but we have to maintain our stand for the truth and showing our faith and declare to a people what we believe is true is taught in the New Testament, because we realize that the church is standing and will continue to stand until Jesus comes again to take those that have been found worthy back to heaven. What are some of the things that we need to recognize about our faith and to practice it and to perpetuate it, and so that others can see what our faith is all about? So for the remainder of our lesson, we're just going to name some things, and then we're going to read some scriptures that show forth where we're instructed to do this very thing. As children of God, one of the most important things is that we have a belief in God. We can read about this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Belief in God is vital. If we don't believe in God, nothing else that we do will matter as far as our eternal life is concerned. There are a lot of people today who say they believe in God, they say they believe in Jesus, and yet nothing that they do in their life, or nothing that you can see outwardly, demonstrates that. Because there are so many people in the world today who think they can worship God any way they want. They think God's going to accept their love and devotion on their terms, and they simply will not accept that God is very specific about what kind of worship He will accept, what kind of baptism He will accept. And this is one of the things that we have to show forth in our lives, that we understand and we do accept what God teaches, and we realize that that's the only way that we're going to be pleasing to God, is if we serve Him and love Him under His terms. I'd also like to read from James chapter 2 and verse 19. James 2 and 19. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble." So it's very important for us to not only have a belief in God, but to demonstrate that in the way that we live, in the way that we act, and in the things that we say and do. Of course, hand in hand with that is belief in Jesus. We can read about this in Matthew 16 and verse 16. We read this portion of this earlier. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When we believe and accept that Jesus is the Son of God, and we realize that He died for our sins, we're going to want to take advantage of that. Because we realize when we're presented with that there's two options. We can either do what God wants us to do and go to heaven, or we can refuse to accept what God wants us to do, and we can expect to spend an eternity in torment if we don't do those things. And it's really that simple. People try to complicate it by changing the Word of God and changing things, and something comes along that God doesn't accept and people want to accept, so they try to change the organization that they're in, or they try to change their philosophy or their views and opinions on specific actions and things people want to do. But we realize, as we mentioned, God has set the parameters for what he expects, and they're not going to change. It's over and over again we're assured of that in the New Testament. If God was going to send another prophet down here to tell us that, you know, now we got modern times now and we're going to ease up on some of the things that you're not supposed to do so that you can enjoy life or something like that, as ridiculous as that sounds, that seems to be almost what people are trying to insinuate has happened. But there's nothing in the scriptures that tells us that any other prophet's going to come. As a matter of fact, Paul, if you'll remember, I think it was over in Ephesians, wrote that even if an angel from heaven comes and tells you something different than what we've already told you, let him be accursed, because it's not going to change. It's going to stay the same until Jesus comes again. So that's why it's so important that we follow and accept what they have given us through the Holy Spirit. Of course, belief in God and in Jesus also means that we need to have a belief in the Holy Spirit. We can read about this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we realize that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit make up the Godhead. They are individuals, but they have unity in what they have said they want us to do. Of course, we get the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, the inspiration that he gave to the apostles and the disciples that wrote the New Testament. And we realize that these are the things that will guide us in life and lead us to salvation if we'll just accept and follow them. We also realize it's important to have a belief in the Word of God. We can read about this over in Luke chapter 4 and beginning in verse 4. Luke 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This, of course, is when Jesus was led out into the wilderness and tempted of the devil. The devil tried to get Jesus to, thought he was probably at the weakest point that he would ever be physically. And he tried to take advantage of that situation that by tempting Jesus. And Jesus reminded the devil that man has to believe and accept every word of God. We can't just take the parts that make us feel good and ignore the parts that make us feel guilty or the parts that don't align with what we believe. We have to believe every word that God has given us, because we realize that every word is what we're going to be judged by. We also have to believe in the healing power of Jesus' sacrifice. We read about this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We realize that Jesus died. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for those of us that are here this afternoon. He didn't just die for those of us that were here this morning, or that met in other faithful congregations throughout this country and throughout the world. He died for every individual that would live after him. And also, he died, as Dennis brought out this morning, to cover the sins that were only rolled forward by the blood of animals. It was only through the blood of Jesus that those sins could then be forgiven. And so what Jesus did on that day when he died on the cross was he gave each and every person a chance to be in heaven with God and with him forever. And we simply have to understand that and accept it. And our belief in that should cause an action within us to act appropriately. But we also need to believe in the example that Jesus set. I'd like to read now from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We realize that Jesus, when he came down, not only did he die for our sins, but he lived a sinless life in the sight of God. He set the example that we need to follow of being mindful of how we act, the way that we dress, the things that we say and do, and to always be on our guard for the opportunity that temptation is going to creep in and cause us to do something that we shouldn't do. And it's easy for us to fall into those things if we're not a type of person who exercises self-control and self-examination. That's why it's so important for us to understand that we can't just look at other people around us and say, I'm doing so much better than these people are, so I must be all right in God's sight, because that's not how we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged by how we stand up against the Word of God, not how much better we thought we were than the people around us. And so that's why it's so important for us to follow the example that Jesus set. We also need to believe in the unwavering love of God. We can find this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 John 4, 16 and 17. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boundless boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. God loved us. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 16, which is often most people can quote by heart. We realize that God loved us enough that he was willing to let his only son die for our sins. Jesus loved us enough that he was willing to endure that separation from God that he experienced on the cross. And if we want to take advantage of that and we want to be blessed by that, then we have to love God again on his terms and serve him the way he asks, and not something that we believe is right. We also, it's very important for us to believe in the coming of Jesus' return. We can read about this in 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 9. 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We realize that one day Jesus is going to return. And we realize that one day the world as we know it is going to be gone. The world, the earth, the solar system, all the stars, the entire physical world as we know it will be destroyed. And when that time comes, the only place for us to exist is going to be in heaven or in hell. And so it's so important for us to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to secure for ourselves a place in heaven, realizing what the consequences are if we do not make it there. We also need to believe in the coming judgment. Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 9. Romans 14, beginning in verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This is something that I think a lot of people like to not really think about until it's too late to reconcile their life with God and to make themselves right with God. We don't want to be the type of people that are counting on a deathbed confession to get us into heaven. We're going to be judged by how we lived. And as long as we can put in the time doing what God wants us to do, the better our chances are going to be of finding that home in heaven. And when we're mindful of the fact that that day could come at any time, it should make us aware and always try to be ready that we won't be caught surprised on that day when it's too late to correct some of the things that we should have taken care of, that we know that we did wrong and should have sought forgiveness for. It's also important for us to believe in an eternal home in heaven. That's one of the reasons why we want to serve God. We want to be with him forever in heaven, a place that's been promised to us that is very wonderful, as we can read about in Revelations 21, beginning in verse 1. Revelations 21, beginning with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And finally, this afternoon, I think it is important for us to believe that there is an eternal punishment. One of the things a lot of people try to say, and I just heard someone not long ago mention this on TV, talking about that there is no hell. And certainly there is, and it's a place that we need to be fearful of, and a place that we need to make sure we never end up in. And not only make sure that we don't end up there, but we don't want our friends and family to end up there either. We can read about this in Revelations 20, beginning in verse 11. Revelations 20, beginning in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This afternoon, I hope we've said some things that will cause us to consider these ideas as we go forward into a new week, to think about how important it is that we maintain our salvation, and that we continue to reinforce and cause our belief and faith to grow to serve God to the best of our ability. I thank everyone for their attention this afternoon. If there's nothing else to be said, we'll have a closing song.